For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. The new session of the General Assembly convenes today as Governor-elect Ralph Northam prepares to take the oath of office on Saturday. Lawmakers have already begun filing hundreds of bills, including a proposal to help women achieve equity with men. And we visit one family on edge waiting for a renewal of the federally funded health insurance program known as CHIP. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, January 10th. The Virginia General Assembly is set to kick off its 2018 session with a crop of new members swept into office in a November tidal wave powered by antipathy toward President Trump. Lawmakers officially convene at noon Wednesday, and a host of new faces will fill the House of Delegates, where Democrats picked up 15 seats in the November elections. Later in the day, outgoing Governor Terry McAuliffe will give his final State of the Commonwealth address. A top priority for lawmakers will be tackling Virginia's biennial state budget. And they will also debate a host of other issues. Hundreds of bills have already been filed covering issues including taxes, transportation, education, and criminal justice reform. Republicans hold a slim majority in the Senate, and unless challenges in two extremely close races result in a last-minute change, they'll also control the House by a one-vote margin. Democratic Governor-elect Ralph Northam will be sworn in on Saturday. He says curbing gun violence and expanding Medicaid will be two of his top legislative priorities after he takes office. Northam spoke with outgoing Governor Terry McAuliffe at a press conference yesterday. The two laid out a joint legislative package. It includes legislation that would implement universal background checks for gun purchases. It also calls for Medicaid expansion to cover more low-income Virginians. Northam called the proposals nonpartisan and common sense. He says he expects support from both sides of the aisle when the session convenes. Soraya Wintersmith with partner station WCVE in Richmond has more.
With less than a week to go before the official transition, Governor Terry McAuliffe stood beside Governor-elect Ralph Northam in the state capitol conference room and said gun safety will be among this year's top issues.
So you will see legislation calling for universal background checks.
Northam, who campaigned on building on the McAuliffe legacy, echoed the emphasis on gun safety and also pointed to Medicaid expansion.
Our budget includes that, over $400 million in the biennial budget. And this is money that we'll bring back to the Commonwealth of Virginia.
The joint policy agenda also includes a borrower's bill of rights to help manage student loan debt, excuse-free absentee voting, and raising the felony larceny threshold to $1,000. Soraya Wintersmith, WMRA News.
Meanwhile, two female lawmakers are introducing legislation as part of a growing movement to help women achieve equity. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the story.
It's called menstrual equity, and it's a growing movement that's prompting legislation in Washington and in state capitals across the country, including several this year in Richmond. One proposal is from Delegate Kay Corey, a Democrat from Falls Church. It would require prisons to provide female hygiene products to prisoners at no cost.
It's not right to charge them, especially charging prisoners who really don't have access to much money at all. So it's wrong. And we shouldn't do it.
Another bill is from Delegate Jennifer Boysko, a Democrat from Herndon. It would eliminate the sales tax for feminine hygiene products.
A woman doesn't have a choice whether or not she needs to buy menstrual products, and because she's taxed on it, that's unfair and it's discrimination. And so it's a parity issue and a fairness issue.
During a legislative hearing in Fairfax, several leaders of a newly created nonprofit thanked Corey and Boysko for introducing the legislation. The organization is called Bringing Resources to Aid Women's Shelters, known by the acronym BRAWS. I'm Michael Pope.
For decades, road salt has been a critical part of highway safety for icy roads. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports that the amount of road salt being used is beginning to cause concern.
Before the first storm, VDOT spokesperson Bethany Glover told us,
the Richmond District has over 62,000 tons of salt.
It is critical for road safety. But Virginia Tech researcher Joel Snodgrass says,
for road treatments is the number one use of salt now in the country.
And for years, the advice has been to get it off your car.
I would say immediately.
Bo Morris owns two body shops where he sees the damage, particularly to newer cars.
There are thousands of sensors all around these customers' vehicles that have electrical connections where the salt and this chemical can get into those connections and wreak havoc.
And the tech study reveals another emerging problem.
We have detected some rogue salts and related chemicals in some streams.
Bill Hayden, Department of Environmental Quality. Later this month, DEQ will begin its first ever study of the effects of road salt on the environment.
We don't know the extent of the problem. We do know in specific places where we've seen dramatic increases, tenfold increases in chloride concentrations.
VDOT has issued a statement that says they are committed to protecting the environment and continue to refine their practices, but have yet to offer details. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Finally, Virginia has mailed out notices to the families of more than 60,000 children, telling them they're in danger of losing their health insurance. They get it through a federally funded program called CHIP, and Congress has not decided whether to keep paying for it. In the short term, Congress has funded the program through March, but what happens after that is unclear. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain visited with one family waiting on edge.
Arlene Guzman speaks and understands English, but she's more comfortable in her native Spanish. So Norma Ryan helped translate our conversation. Ryan works for the nonprofit Virginia Healthcare Foundation, and she's helped Arlene navigate her son's healthcare for years. Ronald is 9, and he speaks 4 languages: English, Spanish, Portuguese, and Puerto Rican. His mother laughs at that last one. But 2 years ago, laughter was scarce. Ronald faced serious challenges.
Me hizo el comentario que él no quería vivir, que él quería morir.
He made a statement that he didn't want to live anymore, that he wanted to die.
To understand how it got to that point, we have to rewind. Since Ronald was months old, he had been a challenge. He would cry uncontrollably. He wasn't aware of danger, running into streets. When he was older, he'd act out in school. A single mother working multiple jobs, Arlene struggled.
Me veía una mamá fuerte y creía que lo estaba manejando bien.
Despite the situation, I view myself as a very strong mother. There was a point where I started to think to myself, the things that I'm doing are not working out.
Ronald became aware of how hard things were for his mother. He felt guilty. That's when he said he wanted to die. He was 7. Arlene took him straight to the emergency room. He was referred to a psychiatrist and diagnosed with ADHD.
What were you worried about? What were your top concerns?
La preocupación más grande que yo tengo.
That he could attempt against his life. I wanted to be with him at all times.
Today, Ronald is a happy, healthy kid. He has medication that helps him pay attention in school, and he enjoys after-school therapy. All of it is possible because of the Children's Health Insurance Program.
Everyone still believes Congress will save this program. It's been too popular for too long, and it covers too many kids.
Linda Nabla runs the program in Virginia. It's been around for 20 years and provides health insurance for 9 million children nationwide. Congress has agreed to keep paying for the program through March, but no one knows what will happen after that.
The worst case scenario for states is that they keep doing these little tiny increments, because that leaves everything in a state of unrest and disarray and uncertainty.
That uncertainty has been difficult for many families. Arlene is a pastor and a radio DJ for a local Spanish-speaking station. She started sharing her story on the air, and soon other families began calling in with their own.
No solamente pienso en mí.
I am not only worried about me, I also worry about many other families, many other parents who are American citizens and are facing the same exact situation I am facing.
Ironically, if those parents lose CHIP, one of the most realistic options for providing insurance to their children is to work less. That's because CHIP is designed for the working poor. You have to make more than the poverty line to qualify. If you make less, your children can get health insurance through Medicaid. But working fewer hours is the last thing Arlene wants. She loves her job, says it helps with her mental health, and she needs the money.
Creo en Dios para ayudarnos.
I believe in God, and I trust that the conversation we are having right now, the story that we are telling, would touch the people who have power.
Because Arlene is a well-known voice in Richmond's Latino community, families keep reaching out. They expect her to know what's going to happen with their children's health insurance. She tells them, "We're waiting. Let's pray." In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Wednesday.